Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from John chapter 4, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Later she says, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things." Amen. Jesus said, "I am the one who is speaking to you." This is our text. Every day it was the same. Every single day, perhaps with the exception of the Sabbath, shortly before noon, she headed out of town in the direction of the well, the one traced all the way back to Father Jacob. She went there alone, eyes lowered, empty water jar balanced on her head. And an hour later, you'd see her trudging back through the dust, trudging back to her old life, weighed down with that same jar, full now. Back to the shadow of 5 ex-husbands and the current man who wasn't. A woman whose soul was like dust, the dust of death. Today, as usual, you saw her leave. But an hour later, instead of a slow trudge, you see a little cloud kicked up by her heels as she comes bustling and panting back into town. Where's her water jar? What happened out at Jacob's well? Clutching her sides with a lovely little smile you'd never seen before, she only says, "Come, come see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Come, see." She invites you out to the well. She invites you to a man unlike any man she'd ever known. A man she never expected to meet. A man she never dreamed would have anything to do with someone like her. But that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Let's go back to the beginning. It was, as I said, about noon, hot and dusty under the Middle Eastern sun, and that was always when she went to draw water. The other women, of course, went when the sun was lower, morning or evening. The other women went chattering with little ones at their heels. But not this woman. She kept to herself, partly out of shame, partly because she knew that those women wouldn't give her the time of day if she asked. She didn't belong with them. So she goes out at noon on this hot day, and she's surprised to find someone else out by the well. And if it were possible, this stranger looked even more weary and dirty than she was. By the looks of him, he'd already traveled a long way that day. How far he still had to go, she didn't know, and she wasn't about to ask. Better to mind your own business. Keep your head down, do what you came for. Besides, she could see that she wasn't one of them, a Samaritan. He was a Jew. And you know how well they mix, like oil and water. Jews viewed Samaritans as half-breeds. As half-breeds with corrupted religious practices, because the Samaritans' Israelite ancestors had intermarried with foreigners brought there after the Assyrian conquest. So she'd just fill her jar with water and be on her way. "Give me a drink." Already anxious and on edge, his voice startled her. "Give me a drink." It wasn't harsh, it wasn't rude, but why would he? What could he possibly want from her? Everyone knew that Jews thought Samaritan women were unclean from birth. They wouldn't be caught dead touching the same cup, much less drinking from it. How is it that you ask me for a drink? The nerve. But then it took a strange turn. He didn't seem to care at all about that whole Jew and Samaritan bit, almost as if 700 years of bad blood and religious differences were nothing to him. His request for water had been a surprise, but his next words were just plain confusing. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked me, and he would have given you living water. What? Who is this guy? Where's his source of fresh running water? She looks around. What gift of God could he possibly be talking about? Why, you've got nothing to draw water. And God knows how deep the well is. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well. He drank from it himself. So did his sons and his livestock. Ah, woman, he replied. Everyone who drinks the water from Jacob's well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I'll give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I'll give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But she doesn't get it. She's still on the surface level. She's still thinking about earthly drinking water. But even so, it sounds like a great deal. Water that satisfies forever? Why, she'd never have to make that lonely, sweaty, dusty trip to the well again. Sir, you've made me thirsty just talking about it. Give me this water. Honestly, she didn't have a clue how deep her thirst really was. I mean her spiritual thirst. She didn't realize how dry the well was, the well from which she'd been drawing all her life. She didn't know how bad the water was that she'd been drinking. Do you? What well are you drawing from day after day after day? What kind of water does it hold? And what's the deeper thirst that's driving you to it? Because I can guarantee this Samaritan woman isn't the only one walking a lonely road with a soul as dry as dust, trying to quench her thirst in the same place, same sad place, day after day after day. Jacob's well just won't cut it. And now she's been offered something better. Now she's been offered a spring of water welling up to eternal life. She's not about to let that pass by. So do you see what's happened here? What started with him asking her for a drink of water leads to her asking him for water. Now she wants what this guy has. You should want it too. Go, he says. Call your husband and come here. Here, not to the well, but to me. What is this? Is this a proposal? Because she doesn't have a husband, not just now, but she'd be in the market for one. Well, I've got no husband, she says. He already knows. He knows just how great her thirst is. You're right, for you had 5 husbands, and the one you now have isn't your husband. What you've said is true. He knows. My God, he knows! He told me all I ever did. She wasn't talking about the kinds of things you put on a college application or a resume. She didn't mean the carefully presented image you post on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever social media you use. She meant her 5 husbands and her current live-in. All I ever did. What a scary idea. To have everything I've ever done and been exposed, laid bare, known by someone else, known by this stranger at the well. What is it for you? What are the five husbands that haunt your life? What people, things, and situations would you prefer to keep hidden? What false beliefs have you mixed with the truth, and what strange gods have you worshipped? But he knows. He already knows. That's why he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He knows what you need, you thirsty Samaritans, dry as dust. He knows that you need him and what's there in him. You need that the fountain that brings life to the dust of the earth. For though you are returning to dust, he brings resurrection and new life. Only a prophet could know her sin like that. Only a prophet could know your sin like that. So this man by the well, he must be a prophet. Maybe even something more than a prophet. And as a prophet, surely he can tell her where to go for forgiveness, where to worship. Whether on the Samaritan mountain or at the temple in Jerusalem with the Jews. Woman, believe me, he says, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father, for he will be worshipped in a new way. Forgiveness will come in a new place. The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. True worship isn't so much about a place, though we certainly need places to gather, but it's even more about a person, about him. True worship is to worship in communion with this man, with this stranger at the well, and the Holy Spirit whom he sends. True worship is to receive the forgiveness that comes from his hands. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ, and when he comes, he'll tell us all things. Jesus said, I am the one who is speaking to you. And now she knows the gift of God. Now she knows who it was that said to her, give me a drink. Now she knows the source of living water. And now you know, too. The gift of God is the Son, whom the Father sent in love to be lifted high on the cross. The gift of God is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The gift of God is the bridegroom, the one who has the bride. He asked for a drink. What kind of drink would he have? It's why he met her at the well that day and why he meets you here today. What kind of drink is he asking for? Not water from Jacob's well, but he's asking for her sin, her shame, her death, and for yours, along with the cup of God's wrath. He will drink it, even if it leaves him crying out in agony in the middle of the day under the heat and the sun, even if it leaves him crying out, I thirst, he will drink it. Even if it kills him, and blood and water come pouring out of his side, he will drink it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us Samaritans. And whoever believes in him has eternal life. For in him is life, life in the beginning, life now, and life forevermore. As he cried out on another occasion, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And now he said this about the Holy Spirit. The life of Jesus and his Spirit you have gushing within you. This life is given and received in holy baptism, and so becomes yours. And each day, the old life is put to death and buried with Jesus, and his Spirit lives in us. This life is yours in his holy body and blood, given and shed for you and placed into your mouth. What shall we do with this life, with this eternal life that we have in him? Live it, dear Christian. Live this life, this eternal life, just like the Samaritan woman. Did you notice she wasn't afraid when he told her everything she'd ever done? That's what made her free. Finally, at long last, she'd found a man who loved her enough to lay down his life for her. Finally, she found a man who washed her with living water and his word. Finally, a man who covered her sins so that she appears in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and covers yours as well. And now this woman is so free that she can leave the old water jar behind, kick up her heels, and run back to town, shouting, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Come, you who thirst, and drink it up with her." There's no going back now. No going back to the old life, or the former sins, or the shame, or the shadows. Those things no longer define you. Now you're identified with this man. Now and forevermore, you're identified with this man and with the living water that flows from his side. You're the bride of Christ. You're his beloved. And now we can say to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Amen.